a thing. Verse 6 becomes the application where I can write my name. You know, at every application, one of the first thing you'll see is the date. What's the date here? This is August the 22nd. If your name hadn't been there on August the 21st, when you leave here, this is the date you were into the Hall of Fame. So that's the date. The next thing is the name. And I see my name, Leslie Draper III. So now verse 6 will say, in the aftermath, by faith, Draper built a new sanctuary. To wear it. Oh my God. By faith, Draper brought down the walls of adversities. By faith, Draper knew how to receive God. By faith, Draper took a journey for God. But I tell you, I feel this thing here. By faith, help me somebody. Draper called upon God in the midnight hour. By faith, Draper came to purpose. By faith, Draper knew how to praise. By faith, Draper knew how to worship. What's your name? Somebody say, write my name. Write my name in Hebrews Hall of Fame. God help me in this place here.
We at the Tree of Calvary Baptist Church hope that you were blessed by our pastor's message. Join us at our Sunday services. Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. and worship services at 10:15 a.m. Second Sunday, 6 p.m., the Lord's Supper is served, and midweek services are Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. Come and join us. God has a blessing with your name on it. If additional information is needed, you may phone the church at 318-941-2877. That's 318-941-2877. God bless you until we meet again at this same time and place. That would be the day when... You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana. I don't fret
because he. Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
My faith to all of you who share with us today in the house of God. It's so good to see you. So good to see Brother Trask here. Amen. God bless you, Brother Trask. Happy to have you home. And to all of you, our visitors and friends, we are blessed by you being here on today. I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Exodus. Exodus, we're going to look at two passages, amen. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 19, and then Exodus chapter 34 and verse 1. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 19, and Exodus chapter 34 and verse 1. Chapter 32, verse 19, there you will find these words. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And then I want you to look at Exodus chapter 34 and verse 1. And there you will find these words. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. Amen. Is there anybody here this morning who's thankful that we serve a God of a second chance? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You ought to be thankful, because if the truth would be told, he's not just the God of a second chance. He is the God of another chance. Thank you, ushers. I want you to get the scene this morning. God establishes a covenant, a relationship with Israel with his finger. God writes two tables, his vision for them, his expectations, and his warnings for disobedience. And as soon as God writes this in stone, he sends Moses down the mountain, and the people were already disobeying law number one. Moses, in his anger, threw the tablets to the ground, and the record is they broke into pieces. But here's the shout, here's the shout. Verses 6 and 7 say, because God is long-suffering, because God is gracious, merciful, and abundant in goodness and in truth, because he's so willing to forgive sin that amidst all that is broken, God is willing to write again. Tell your neighbor one more time. And my brothers and sisters, that's what the Lord wants me to preach about, God giving us one more chance. God writing again in this new year, amen, one more time. And I just believe that there's someone here today who can identify with this story. Someone whom God has blessed, someone whom God has established a relationship with, but you messed up. Amen. You made bad decisions. Amen. Some stuff has broken in your life. You made it to 2012, but you're standing over brokenness. But you're optimistic because even though it broke, tell your neighbor, I didn't break. Oh, and there's somebody here today who could testify that God brought you to 1210 MW Harrison Street this morning in order to tell you that he wants to write again one more time. Can I tell you that you can come back from a setback? Is there anybody here who's excited, amen, to know that you don't have to accept certain realities just because they have been realities? Just because this is how things have been going doesn't mean that this is how things have to keep on going. Who you have been doesn't have to be who you shall be. Because God wants to write anew one more time. Is there anybody here who wants a fresh start? Is there anybody here who can admit that I've made mistakes? I've had some setbacks, but I sense in my spirit that God allowed me to live to see 2012 because he wants to write something new. He wants to write something fresh. He wants to write something, amen, and God doesn't want us to be slaves to the past, because God is far more interested in our future than he is in what we used to be. Now I can't tell you that's the case with your friends and your family. Come on, you know folk, amen, who knew you when. There are people in our lives who will hold us hostage to what we used to be and to what we used to do. But I'm so glad that we serve an omniscient God. He knew what we were gonna do before we ever did it. And so he's not hung up on what we did yesterday or last year. He's only interested in bringing into fruition what he wants us to do and what he wants us to become. We've got to be careful not to allow disappointments of the past to pollute our faith for the future. Because my brothers and sisters, often when we've experienced devastation and frustration, if we're not careful, the pain of the past can threaten to forfeit our future. For some, it's the devastation of divorce, the death of a loved one, depression, financial ruin, addictions, bad mistakes, bad relationships, or bad choices that haunt us. But as we tune into the telecast of the text, God, through Moses, teaches us to let the Lord write, tell your neighbor, one more time. As I said in my introduction, Moses had two tablets of stone. And while alone with God on Mount Sinai, the writer of Exodus says that the tablets were literally inscribed, watch this, by the very finger of God. Inscribed on these two tablets were three things. Number one, God's vision for his people. Number two, God's expectations for his people. And then finally, God's will and warnings for his people. And as Moses came down from his mountaintop experience with God, he had to feel spiritually empowered. He had to be bursting with spiritual expectation, excitement, and hope. He had to be ready to lead, ready to launch, and ready to labor. That was until his spiritual high was met by life's disappointing realities. For as he descended from the mountain, look at him, still celebrating and still reveling from being in the very presence of God, he was met by the raw reality of living among a frail culture and a fractured community. And that's a word for somebody here today, amen, not just for church leaders, not just for preachers, not just for deacons, but for all of us, because often after celebrating and basking in the revelry of being in the presence of God and hearing the revealed purposes of God, the raw reality is that we are then often met by a frail culture and a fractured community. Sometimes you have to come to terms with that in yourself. Sometimes it's not frailty that you see in other folks. Sometimes, amen, it's not the failures that you see in other people. Sometimes after you have had a reveling experience with God, you've got to go home and look at the man or the woman in the mirror and realize that you're not everything God wants you to be. And is there anybody here who knows that sometimes those realities can cause you to doubt your faith in God? You leave from church on a spiritual high, full of euphoria because you've been in the presence of God, hearing the word of God, worshiping with the people of God, and then you hit the door and have to deal with the raw reality of a frail culture and a fractured community. Look at Moses, my brothers and sisters, as he descended the mountain, he was quickly greeted by the product of spiritual impatience and selfish human ambition. Israel, rather than waiting on God, you Bible readers know what they did. Amen. Instead of waiting on God, they told Aaron, man, make us a God. A small g, not a big g, a small, Aaron, make us a God. And the Bible says that he did. The Bible said that in Moses' absence, Aaron shaped for them a golden calf and made an altar, and there the people celebrated the created God that came from their spiritual impatience. Tell your neighbor, if you're going to make it in 2012, you got to learn how to wait on God. Amen. How many of us have made little gods for ourselves because we refuse to wait on God? Somebody said he may not come when you want him, but is there anybody here who knows that he's always right on time? Now, you've got to remember that Moses was holding in his hands tablets written on both sides from the very finger of God himself. Written on those two tablets were God's dreams for his people, God's charge to both the leader and the community, and God's promises for obedience and loyalty to his word. But while Moses was carrying the dreams of God, he became frustrated and angry and disappointed when he saw God's people at the base of the mountain celebrating a man-made God created for them by them. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to serve a God that I made. I don't know about you, but I just don't think I could trust, amen, a God that I created. I don't know about you, but when sickness comes, I don't want to have to call on a God that I created. Come on. Because if that were the case, I ought to be able to fix it myself. If I can fix a God, amen, then I ought to be able to fix the problems myself. But I need a God. I said I need a God that can hear me late in the midnight hour. I need a God, amen, who's not going to check his caller ID when I call him late at night and say, I don't want to be bothered with him. Y'all don't have friends like that. I need a God, amen, that when people turn their backs on me, when family and friends forsake me, I need the kind of God who loves me enough that no matter how low I fall, that no matter how far I go, he's there to welcome me home. You can sit there quiet if you want to. But I believe all of us ought to have some acquaintance with Moses' pain. Amen. All of us have lived Moses' story. I'm just looking for some honest folk, people who know that 2011 was full of triumph and tragedy, full of ups and downs, full of starts and stops, full of successes and failures. Come on, 2011 was full of the evidence of the moving finger of God. Anybody in here can testify that you were blessed in 2011? You were blessed, you were blessed. The result of our alone time with God fed our ambitions. It empowered our dreams. It gave substance to our hopes. It gave wings to our human effort. Each of us can truthfully testify that between last year and today, we have seen the finger of God. The fact that you survived 2011 in the midst of a recession. And for some of you, if your bank accounts could testify, it was a depression. But you're in 2012. And when you look back and wonder how you made it, you got to testify it was God that helped me. It was God that kept me. Is there anybody here who can thank God that he was with you? Tell your neighbor, I've seen the finger of God in my life. Oh my, the fact that the divorce didn't destroy you, the setback didn't stop you, the fact that you came through the separation with your sanity, you dealt with the drama, you made it through the funeral without losing hope, the fact that you outlasted the layoff is all evidence of the moving finger of God in your life. Is there anybody who started last year believing that God was gonna allow for you amazing growth, focused progression, for the dismissal of the unnecessary, for the dropping of negative weights, the awakening from perpetual nightmares, from the recovery from past disappointments, believing we defeat huge foes and hurdle over obstacles? Is there anybody who trusted God last year, but you didn't get everything you thought you should have had, but yet you have hope and you have faith to believe that even though it didn't happen last year, God is able. God is able. God is able. He's able. He's able to do it this year. Well, I want to share with you a few things that you're going to have to do, amen, amen, in order to get God's favor. A few things you're going to have to do in order, amen, to take that second chance and allow it to be a positive factor in your life. The first thing Moses had to do is after he got angry and he threw those precious tablets and he broke them into pieces. Look at what God tells Moses. God says, man, what I need you to do is carve out two new tablets. Oh my, do you know God could have destroyed Moses? God could have destroyed him, but instead of destroying him, God said, I'm gonna give you another chance. You carve out two new tablets, bring them back to me, and I'm going to write all over again. Do y'all understand that God would have been just if he would have taken Moses out of there? He would have been just because there are witnesses here today who can testify, I made some mistake. I knew it was a mess up. I knew I shouldn't have gone there. I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I went anyhow. But I'm here today in the house of God to testify that he is a God of another chance. As Moses stood there over those broken pieces, something else he had to do in order to get back to God, to get another chance, he had to step over the brokenness. I'm trying to tell somebody here today that, and I said it last Sunday, that for some of you, as it relates to discouragement and depression, you keep on rehearsing it. Every time somebody asks you how you're doing, I still ain't doing good. You need to change, amen, your testimony. You need to stop rehearsing that mess. You need to start speaking life. Do you know that the powers of life and death are in your tongue? Stop talking about I'm depressed. Stop talking about I'm discouraged. Stop talking about I'm broke. Change your testimony. Step over the brokenness and watch God make a miracle in your life. He had to step over the brokenness. There's some sisters in here that are still rehearsing it. There's some brothers in here who are still rehearsing it. But then some of you are not only rehearsing it. If you're going to get back to God and get another chance, tell your neighbor you got to quit nursing it. There's some mamas in the house. Amen. You know what nursing is. And if you don't know what that kind of nursing is, if you've ever been in a hospital and had to have the care of a nurse, you know that whenever somebody nurses you, it requires contact. You got to get close with it. And some of you need to quit rehearsing some mess, but you also need to quit nursing it. There are some friends you had last year that you don't need to have this year. There are some coworkers that you went to lunch with last year. You need to find you another lunch partner this year. You're going to get over the brokenness. But not only that, and I'm glad, amen, the text teaches us that God didn't just, amen, those broken pieces, God didn't tell Moses to just get rid of them. He didn't tell him to put them in a dumpster somewhere. God told him to take those broken pieces, place them in the Ark of the Covenant. You know what the Ark of the Covenant is, don't you? The Ark of the Covenant represents the power and presence of God. And so whenever Israel would travel, amen, they would travel with this Ark of the Covenant. And do you know what was in the Ark of the Covenant? Not only were the new tablets in there, the old ones were in there too. The broken pieces were in there too. What does that speak to you? It ought to tell you that God ain't asking you to be insane about what you've been through. God is not asking you to have amnesia about the stuff you've been through. Because there are some folk in here who knows that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I don't know about you, but I've had folk do stuff to me that really hurt me at my core, that really, amen, upset me and angered me. I thank God he gave me the power to forgive them. Somebody called me and said, Pastor, when we forgive somebody, does that mean we're supposed to forget what they did? If you can do that, God bless you. But there's some stuff folk have done to me. And I'm not rehearsing it. I'm not nursing it. I'm just trying to make a point. And my point is this. I remember what they did. But even though I'm cognizant of what they did to me, God has worked in me a change of heart. So that when I look at them, I don't hate them, I love them. So that when I look at them, I'm not angry with them, I'm able to say, Lord, bless them. My brothers and sisters, if you're gonna get a new start in this year, there's some folk you need to forgive. There's some folk, amen, you need to get over the hurt, get over the shame, get over the guilt, get over some stuff, and let God work something new in your life. And I'm here to tell you today that when God gives you another chance, it suggests to us that he can still get the best out of us. Tell your neighbor, he can still fix it. He can still change it. He can still anoint it. He can still prevent it. He can still provide it. He can still bless it. He can still recover it. He can still reclaim it. He can still retain it. He can still reclaim it. He can still reconcile it. He can still forgive. He can still complete. He can still bring it to pass. Is there anybody here who knows there's nothing too hard for God? Tell your neighbor, I'm getting over the brokenness. I'm climbing over the brokenness. I thank God for another chance. I thank God for another opportunity. I thank God for another chance to give him praise, to tell him thank you. After all I've been through, I still have joy. I still have a praise. I still will tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. I also need to tell you that the text teaches us that it's more advantageous. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. It's more advantageous to get two fresh tablets than to try to piece together. Y'all don't hear me today. Some of y'all have pieced some stuff back together. And if the truth would be told, it's together, but it ain't right. There's a reason that God tells Moses, get two fresh tablets. Get two new tablets. Because God is saying, I can't bless you with that old stuff. Some of y'all want God's favor, but you got the same old attitude. Some of y'all want God's blessing, but you got the same old mean spirit. Some of y'all want God to open doors and make ways out of no ways, but you still don't come to Bible study. You still won't open your mouth and tell him thank you and give him a praise. You need to start anew. You need to put together some new tablets. And I'm not ashamed. I said I'm not ashamed, and I'm not scared either to tell you that I had some stuff to break in my life. I said I'm not ashamed, and I'm not scared to tell you that I had some stuff to shatter. Some stuff almost took me out. Some stuff almost took me under, but in spite of that, I'm here to tell you on this second Sunday in 2012, I'm here to tell you that God can work something fresh, that God can work something new in your life. Can I get a witness? I wonder how much God wants to say to you that's fresh and new and powerful, but he holds it because he wants to write it on fresh new tablets. We're waiting for him to write it on broken pieces. We want fresh ideas written on old attitudes. We want fresh opportunity written on top of old practices. We want new ambitions, but we possess the same old actions. The Bible says that you ought to put new wine in new wineskins. Can I get a witness today? I don't know what happened to you in 2011. I don't know what setbacks you had in 2011. All I know is that if he woke you up this morning, if he brought you to Pleasant Hill today,
I stop by to tell you, there is hope, there is hope, there is hope, there is hope. Folk may have given up on you,